The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is paid for by Mike Boyle.
He's spent almost 40 years in and around the restaurant industry. He's been an owner and an operator. He's a member of the Colorado Restaurant Hall of Fame. The last quarter of a century, his radio shows have been keeping you updated on the ever-changing Colorado restaurant scene, where he invites you to join him, both on the air and for meals at area restaurants. He's Mike Boyle, and this is The Restaurant Show.
I'm Mike Boyle. This is The Restaurant Show here on Newstalk 710 KNUS. Back for the second hour. I want to thank Randy Price from Rocky Mountain Restaurant Group, Salsa Brava, and Urban Eggs for joining me in the last hour. This hour, we are going to talk with Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L. He is he's in a big Washington law firm, Washington, D.C., very prolific writer as well. He's got his 16th novel out, and we're going to talk a little bit with him. I didn't get him on last week in Denver, but I think he does a wonderful job. And since last week, I've actually been able to read the book. I usually don't do an interview with somebody until I have read the book. So that's going to come up later in this hour. Employees of a national restaurant group say company is refusing to let them wear masks. This is a company out of Texas. There are also some restaurants in Texas that have gotten some good national publicity by saying, you can't come in our restaurant in a mask. No. If you're sick, stay home. But if you come into our restaurant, you cannot wear a mask. Well, I found an article that I really got a kick out of. It's an opinion piece. Your mask is making you meaner, dumber, more afraid, and less safe. The writer says, I'll try to keep this respectful, but it's not easy because the masks that so many of you are so proudly wearing are the pinnacle of stupidity, and I just don't know how to be nice about communicating that. I know we're all desperate to stay positive, and I know most Americans don't have the time or energy to really look past the top-line news they see and hear. And I know the media, academia, and Hollywood are very effective at shaping our impressions of social and political goings on. And I know politicians on both sides of the aisle are congratulating you for doing your part to help beat the COVID-19 virus. And I know that makes you feel good at a time we could really use some lifting up. It's a powerful cocktail of forces, especially when virtually everyone you know is 100% bought into. But as every good parent will at some point tell their children, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. Your mask is making you meaner. Because you're wearing one, you're mad at anyone who doesn't. I don't happen to be a person that wears a mask. I haven't worn one yet. I don't own one. I have no intention of wearing one. Mike, you can't go to Costco. I don't give a damn about going to Costco. You can't say that with any certainty or evidence, the article says, that you know you're right to wear one or that the other person is wrong not to. But that's what you've been told and you believed it. So you decided to get a mask and wear it. And yes, it's a pain. And but you believe it's part of a noble collective effort to work together and do something big. And I, the author, say it's a pain, but let's be honest. A good chunk of you excitingly sees masks as fashion accessories that make you look cooler, make you look hotter. But whether you love or hate wearing it, when you see someone who isn't, you take it personally. You've been told that that person doesn't care about your health and safety, and you believed it. Wearing your mask makes you meaner, dumber, more afraid, and less safe. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back on the Restaurant Show.
Okay, here's a quick update on what's happening at India's Restaurant during the shutdown. India's is open for business, alive and well, and offering the same great meals at 8921 East Hamden, just east of Yosemite. But you'll have to wait for the fabulous lunch buffet, relaxing in their beautiful dining area, or using the private party room because India's is doing takeout only. They have fabulous lunch boxes, and for dinner, they can organize an Indian meal feast that you'll love. Remember, if you want to eat healthy, India's offers plenty of vegetarian items as well as their chicken and lamb dishes. India's is part of the Restaurant Show grab-and-go promotion, so be sure and ask about that when you call them at 303-755-4284. That's 303-755-4284. Ask for Chris, the owner, and tell him you heard about it on Mike's show. And to wash down that wonderful Indian cuisine, you might want to take home a bottle or two of the fabulous Indian beers Chris has to offer. India's is offering reasonable prices, some discounts too, so give them a call. Order in advance, pull into their wide-open parking lot, and they'll run the food out to you. India's, for over 30 years, satisfying the Indian food cravings of people throughout the Denver market. We may have to shut down our daily lives, but we don't need to shut down our cravings. India's.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and we all enjoy the foods of China, right? The sesame chicken, the Mongolian beef, but would you like to get some authentic Chinese food? Well, then you need to stop by the Volcano Asian Cuisine, 9632 East Arapahoe Road, just east of I-25, because Jay, the owner, he's from China. And yes, he understands that we like the westernized dishes, the hot and sour soup, the egg drop soup, but he also wants to serve the dishes of his home country. It's also called the Asian cuisine because you know what? They do sushi over there as well. It's a beautiful sit-down restaurant. You can go in and you can have a date night. They got a full-service bar. You can also do carry-out if you would like. It's called the Volcano. The Volcano Asian Cuisine. The Volcano Chinese Sushi Restaurant. 9632 East Arapahoe Road. 303-662-8111. They are open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and I know that they would love to see you and tell Jay you heard about it from Mike Boyle on the Restaurant Show.
For a while now, folks have had the perfect excuse for getting home a little late. You know, I've been at the office. If people wanted to assume that you meant the work office, well, hey, that's their problem. But you probably meant the Office Kitchen and Bar on 3rd Street in Castle Rock. Owned and operated by Mike Hernandez, the office has that comfortable, relaxed neighborhood bar and grill atmosphere where you can wind down after a busy day at your other office. Beers, burgers, and bourbon highlight the menu, along with plenty of salads, sandwiches, and even a few Mexican items. The fish tacos are great, but if the office excuse is getting a little lame, just say you're heading over to the library. What could be the harm in that? Well, obviously we're talking about Mike's other place near the Castle Rock Adventist Hospital called the Library. The Library has that same laid-back feel of the office. Good food, full-service bar. You can just sit back and read the menu. And now Mike has a third place. It's in Parker, and it's called the Gym. Pizzas, burgers, full bar, games. So whichever excuse you want to use, whichever place you want to visit, the office or the library in Castle Rock or the gym in Parker, you're going to get a good meal, relax a little, and feel right at home.
Bars are all closed. It's 4 in the morning. I must have shut them all down. By the shape that I'm in, I lay my head on the wheel, and the horn begins honking.
All right, 14 minutes after 4 o'clock here on the Restaurant Show, every Saturday 3 to 5, every Sunday 10 o'clock until noon. Yep, I will be back tomorrow. Your mask is making you meaner, dumber, more afraid, and less safe. You've been told that the person doesn't care about your health and safety, the person not wearing a mask, and you believed it. And so you see the person who isn't wearing a mask as a bad person. One who isn't willing to chip in as you are for the collective greater good. And worse, you see someone who doesn't care if he or she puts others in harm's way. You're wrong, says the author, and I'll explain why. But that hostility you feel for those not wearing masks is both unhealthy and unfounded. Your mask is making you meaner. So you've decided to become a joiner without even really doing the slightest amount of research. So your mask is making you dumber. You've ignored the exhaustive list of things the experts have gotten wrong about COVID-19. You've barely glanced at the totality of the social, economic, and health-related collateral damage that those experts' failures have cost you, your family, and your country. You were really worried about toilet paper a few months back, but as soon as you got a decent supply, you just kind of accepted everything else that came after it. You've got toilet paper, you're good. But man, those jobless claims are hard to see. And man, that tanking economy and all the businesses that are suffering and shuttering are a tough pill to swallow. Having kids out of school is uncomfortably taxing on you and them. Not being able to go out and eat or hang out with your friends, it's all super rough. But what can you do? You've got to grin and bear it and listen to the experts, right? Wrong. You don't have to look far to realize the experts' response to this thing has been wildly overblown. Everything they advised was to flatten the curve so we wouldn't overburden hospitals. And now hospitals are firing people just so they can stay afloat. Why? Because the experts scared, and in so many cases mandated, anyone who didn't have COVID-19 out of treating their other health problems. So instead of getting help, people are suffering and dying at home, and hospitals are so thinned out that they can no longer pay their own bills. All right? And you've applied exactly zero critical thinking to any of what you've been told, and instead you just accepted it because that's what everybody else was doing, and you lack the confidence or courage to look more closely or assert even a shred of independent thought. Now you're walking around with a mask on, and you're mad at anyone you see who isn't wearing one. You spent full 20 seconds washing your hands. You haven't spent a full 20 seconds washing your hands in over a month. In fact, you're not even really washing your hands with any more diligence or regularity than you were before COVID-19 arrived. You're touching your face and not giving it a second thought. Those staples of common sense, viral risk mitigation are out the window because you didn't really invest any of yourself in understanding their application and merit. You just listened to what you were told, and you're not told those things so much anymore, so you basically forgot about them. But now you're told to wear a mask. So you're eagerly doing it, because doing what you're told is easier than thinking about things. So, not only is your mask making you meaner, your mask is making you dumber. Your mask is also making you more afraid. Your mask is making you less safe. So I'm not sure that I have enough time to go into all of these, but the conclusion is, the author says, I want to be respectful, but it's very frustrating to watch. Most of you don't appreciate that the social, economic, and health-related collateral damage caused by our overblown response to this far eclipses anything the virus itself could have done with or without our flatten-the-curve measures. Have you seen that saying there, that slowing that says coronavirus isn't killing our economy, the politicians are? Anyway, most of you don't realize that the data you've been given is massively flawed across every metric, and it's all going in the same direction towards prolonging the fear and collateral discussion and away from calm and actual mitigation. Most of you are so convinced that you're doing the right thing, because most of you are wonderful people who care deeply, not just about your own health, but your neighbors and your parents and your grandparents. And really, at a time so beset by fear and perceived danger, even your worst enemies. You're setting everything else aside because you want to help and you want to do good. So I'd be curious. I had a little email contest, mike@mikeboyle.com. I took emails from listeners on whether or not they agree with the article, whether or not they wear a mask. And I'll throw the same thing out to you. My email is mike@mikeboyle.com. That's mike@mikeboyle.com. And I'd be curious to get your thoughts. I might pull an email writer, write you back, maybe send you a gift certificate. I'll have to kind of wait and see how I'm going to do that. But mike@mikeboyle.com. Your mask is making you meaner, dumber, more afraid, and less safe. We're going to be back with Alan Topol. He's got a new book out called The French Revenge. It's a good one. We'll talk about it when we come back on The Restaurant Show. When we come back on The Restaurant Show in just a minute or two. By the way, I had not read the book when I did the interview, but I have since read the book. And I'm always happy to have Alan on. I'm always happy to promote his books. But I will tell you something. Since then, since you were here in the interview, I hadn't read it. But now I have. It is that good. We'll be right back.
News Talk 710, KNUS.
You know, if the challenges of 2020 have shown us anything, it's that we really appreciate people and businesses who support our community. There's probably no company more involved throughout Colorado than folks at Pepsi Bottling Company. By keeping their people employed, keeping their truckers working and trucks on the road, keeping our stores and restaurants supplied with great Pepsi products, or even through challenging times, keeping involved in community and civic causes, Pepsi has been there. And did you know that Pepsi also supports our military by employing over 100 veterans throughout the state? All that's important, but it's also important that you know about the great lineup of Pepsi products. Pepsi Regular, including the original Pure Cane Sugar Pepsi in the glass bottle, and all of their other products. Diet, Zero, Mountain Dew, Mug Root Beer, Sierra Mist Lemon Lime, not to forget Gatorade, Propel Energy Drink, and Lipton Tea. Pepsi also has a long line of snack products as well, including Lay's Potato Chips, Ruffles, Doritos, Cheetos, and many more. So stop by and pick up some Pepsi products. Pepsi may be a big international company, but they've always been there for us. For Colorado, Pepsi.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and you know, the holidays are over, spring is coming, you're going to want to do some spring cleaning. What about the carpets? What about the upholstery? The family's gone, the guests are gone, the holidays are over, you're going to want that place all spiffy for the summer? Why not call Mike Bagnall at Bagnall Carpet Services, 303-797-6400, 303-797-6400. You know, I'm a bachelor, so I keep the house pretty clean, but I got a dog recently, I got Bailey the Mexican street dog, so I got to keep those carpets just a little bit cleaner, the upholstery just a little bit cleaner, and I'm telling you what, he does a great job. Bagnall Carpet Cleaning, 303-797-6400. They've got great technicians. They'll be there on time. They'll do what they say they're going to do. The prices are reasonable. Tell them you heard about it from Mike Boyle on The Restaurant Show, but if you need your carpets and upholstery clean, Bagnall Carpet Services, 303-797-6400.
With the shutdown over, wouldn't you like to go on a nice ocean-type vacation? Can't take the time? Don't want to fly? Well, did you know you only have to go as far as Happy Canyon Road in South Santa Fe and Castle Pines to get wonderful fresh seafood. That's right, Trestle's Coastal Cuisine. For over 2 years now, Jose and Mimi Espinosa have been bringing their 30-plus years of Huntington Beach seafood restaurant expertise to the area. Maybe start with some fresh oysters. Jose is tremendously proud of his selection of both East and West Coast oysters. Maybe the crab cakes. For fresh seafood, maybe enjoy the scallops, king crab, or the fresh fish of the day. Have a carnivore in your party? Choose from the New York Strip. A filet and the rack of lamb is sensational. Trestle's serves lunch Monday through Saturday and is open for dinner nightly. Has a beautiful but relaxed decor and a patio that was made to enjoy our fabulous Colorado sunsets, and a wine list that is second to none. Compliments a full service bar. It's called Trestle's Coastal Cuisine, but the salads are fabulous. Oh, and if you're craving a burger, it's one of the best around. Trestle's welcomes reservations, so either drop in or call 303-663-3622. That's 303-663-3622. And remember, if you still want to do takeout, Trestle's is happy to accommodate you.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. Radio on the edge. Running without scissors. You are listening to history being made with this segment. Why? Because I have told you over and over and over, if I recommend a restaurant, it's because I have eaten there and like it. If I recommend a movie, it's because I've seen it and I liked it. And if I interview an author, it's because I have read the book. How can I recommend a book to you if I haven't read it? Well, today,
Remember what your mother said about never say never? I can't say that anymore, because today we're talking with Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L, first name Alan, spelled A-L-L-A-N. And I figured if he's already had 16 best-selling novels, intrigue novels, and I've read all of them, and I've interviewed him after reading all of them, I thought I could take a chance on The French Revenge. I just got it this week. I haven't read it yet. It came out on May 7th, but when he sent me a copy of it, when he reached out to me, I said, Alan, I'd love to have you on. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Delighted to be back with you. I always enjoy talking with you.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you. Radio on the edge, buddy. So at some point, you're going to have to tell me a little bit about The French Revenge. How's everything in your world? You are you're an interesting guy. You graduated from Carnegie Mellon. You studied chemistry. You know what? When I was getting my Bachelor of Science degree from Cal Poly, you know, you had to take the biology and the physics and all that type of stuff. I pushed chemistry back to the last term. And I remember giving a postcard to the professor for my final exam and my final grade. And on the postcard, I said, final exam grade, grade for the class. Thank you very much from a graduating senior. Just in case he wanted to give me a C-, but at least get me through. How'd you get through in chemistry? That's got to be tough.
It was. I enjoyed it, actually. But I decided, heck, I was doing okay at it, but I wasn't good enough to be tops. It's a hard field. You can't fool around. And so I switched, and I went to law school, and I've worked as a lawyer in Washington for many, many years with a big, powerful law firm, and I've been writing these novels at the same time. So I never looked back from chemistry. Hey, I liked it at the time, but I'm on my third career now, and I guess I'm enjoying it. I think maybe I've got it right this time.
All right. Well, the French. Now, do you think you would ever give up law to become a full-time writer?
No, I love the combination of working them together. I've tapered down spending much more time writing and much less time at law. But being a lawyer in Washington is wonderful because that's how I get the ideas for my plots that are all international plots that involve international affairs, as you know. It's how I meet the most interesting kind of characters who were attracted to Washington. Some of them, I think, get ruined from being here, and others aren't so good to start with before they come. But, heck, Washington is a great laboratory to meet people and get ideas to write novels. So I'm never going to give it up. I love this combination of writing books and being a lawyer with a big, powerful law firm in Washington.
Well, it's actually one of the questions that I had about your inspiration for the books, and we've talked about that. And you know what? It just seems to me that every time we talk, Alan, the political climate in Washington gets more and more and more toxic as we go along. Is it just my imagination being out here in flyover country?
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And that is something that plays into my book, The French Revenge, as well. I think you put it very, very well. When I grew up a long time ago in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there was a kind of civility between the two political parties and people on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. They talked and they tried to work together. Over the last period of time, and you can't blame it on any one administration or any one political party, it's gotten so polarized, confrontational. I love your adjective, toxic, and it's really a shame. And so, but that's one of the things I try to bring out in this book, The French Revenge, because all of my books end up, they're international books, as you know, but sooner or later they circle back to Washington in some way. And one of the things this deals with is a president's advisor and how he acts and what are his personal motivations, because at the end of the day, is so much of all of politics and government is personal, people moving from personal motives and that becomes at the heart of the French revenge.
You know, it seems to me, people can go, you know what they say about the road to hell. It seems to me that a lot of people go to Washington with the best of intentions, but the next thing you know, I once heard somebody say, you go to Washington with the best of intentions, but after you get there, all you're concerned about is getting reelected. And obviously we're talking about the elected officials. I just finished a John Grisham book, his newest book, Camino Wind, and it talks about going to Washington, D.C., and the old Ebbett Grill, one of the oldest restaurants, one of the biggest volume restaurants in the country. Are restaurants open in D.C.?
No, they are not. They're not even open. They're open for takeout only.
Okay.
Not even outdoors to sit there, right, at this point.
Okay, I wondered, because I was about, you know, because, for example, we're having a little bit of a debate here. How can all the restaurants at our airport, DIA, be open? That's under the purview of Denver. Yet the city of Denver has shut down all the restaurants. And to be perfectly honest with you, my cynicism, Alan, I thought, well, if there's restaurants anywhere that's going to be open, it's going to be in the power base of Washington, D.C. So I'm not glad to hear they're closed. If it was up to me, Alan, they'd all open up and have themselves a good time. Hey, listen, before we talk about the French revenge, we have been talking about it. You are an avid wine collector. So, you know, you're on the air so that I can recommend your books to my listeners. But I've got a recommendation for you with wine. Now, it may be a little plebeian for you, but it's called La Posta, L-A-Posta, P-O-S-T-A. It is a family, an Argentinian family. And, of course, you know what Argentina is known for, the Malbecs.
Right.
And this is out of the Mendoza region. A friend of mine spent 30 years in the wine industry, became the national VP, whatever. And he's one of these guys that when we go to dinner, I've known him since college. We periodically will go to dinner, and when we get together, we happen to be in Oklahoma City at Mickey Mantle Steakhouse. And wonderful place, wonderful steaks. We all grew up loving the Mick. And anyway, he looks at the wine list, and he can always find a good wine that's a good, not just, you know, because they got wines in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But he finds this, and it was $52. You know, most people order their wine, Alan, I think, from the right. They look at the price. They don't want to be too low, appear too chintzy. They don't want to be too grandiose, spend too much money. But he says, this is a hell of a deal. So we got a La Posta Malbec. And I came back and went to the liquor store, and he said, yeah, we carry it off and on, so on and so forth. It sells well when we get it. We just don't happen to have it now. And they ordered it, and it's about $16 to $18 a bottle. Like I said, that might not be. Are you a real blue blood when it comes to wine, or do you like to mix it up a little bit?
Oh, I love to mix it up, and I really look for price, quality, values. And that's so funny that you said that with Argentina, because I've been going I went to Argentina 3 times, and I wrote a book, The Argentine Triangle, as you know,
mm-hmm, yep.
We talked about it. But I've been going to Uruguay, right next to Argentina, and they have wines there made with the Tannat grape, T-A-N-N-A-T, grown only there, or in the southern part of northern part of Spain. And like this Malbec that you talked about, these are great values at the $16, $18 price range. So I am huge on finding price quality things, and I will definitely try this Malbec. But Northern Italy has some fabulous wines at this kind of price range, too.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you. There's no reason to spend a bunch of dollars on getting, because you can get very high quality wines at a very reasonable price. So I appreciate this recommendation, Mike. This is a good one. I will try it for sure.
La Posta Malbec. And yeah, and you know what? And since you're kind of a history student, you like to know a little bit about where things come from, just like the grapes in Uruguay. You know, you know the history, of course, of the Malbec grape, how it came from France and was transported down, and the royalty wanted their grapes and wanted their wines in Argentina and so forth and so on. So anyway, I thought I would just give you that little tip, Alan.
Well, I really appreciate it. I'm going to try to get hold of some right now. That's a good idea, Mike. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. All right, we're talking with Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L. First name, Alan, A-L-L-A-N. His book is called The French Revenge. Alan, I've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's take the folks through a little bit of the plot on your new book. How does that sound?
Sounds perfect. Look forward to it.
All right. It came out on May 7th. It's called The French Revenge. You can get it on Amazon, The Usual Suspects. He has got 16 other political thrillers out. Does a very good job. I always enjoy reading them. Fascinating guy. The books have been translated into Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, Hebrew. We'll be right back with Alan on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
Power of positive, the pow, 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 power of positive, the pow, 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 power of positive, the pow, 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 power of positive.
While Joyce's Famous Pizza didn't like the Great American Shutdown and what it did to businesses all over the metro area, she was really set up for takeout and delivery more than most, because that's what most of her business is anyway. Joyce's Famous Pizza is a small place anyway. Located at 2120 South Broadway, just south of Evans, Joyce's only has about five or six tables, so most people stop by and take her amazing pizza home with them. And of course, Joyce's has always delivered. Joyce's is open for business, both lunch and dinner, 7 days a week, beginning at 11 o'clock. Also, while Joyce is known for her pizzas, don't forget the sub sandwiches on homemade bread, the salads, pasta dishes, and calzones. Everything can be picked up or delivered. You can call in your order and it will be waiting for you when you arrive. Joyce's number is 303-777-4992. That's 303-777-4992. Joyce's has been around since 2008. And remember, she serves a big pie, 16 inches, with plenty of toppings to choose from. She also has a great pizza by the slice lunch special. So check out Joyce's Famous Pizza, 2120 South Broadway, and be looking for some of her social media deals and the occasional Saturday specials offered on Mike's website at MikeBoyle.com. These specials can really save you some money. You know, sometimes it's nice to take a leisurely drive to the mountains. Maybe head out 285 to Aspen Park near Conifer and visit DW's 285 Diner. And now that the shutdown is lifted, it'd be nice to get out for a drive. DW's is still offering takeout and would love to see you for dine-in. Jeff and Janine, the owners, also own Tommy's Sub at Quincy and C470. And Tommy's is also open for takeout and dine-in and serving what Mike considers to be one of the best Philly cheesesteaks in town. And guess what? DW's is also serving Tommy's Subs. Confused? Don't be. DW's is open serving breakfast and lunch. DW's and Tommy's Subs are both serving fabulous sub sandwiches. DW's has been around for over a decade, and Tommy's has been around for over 25 years. So you know both are really good. So maybe start, if you're in the Conifer area, with breakfast at DW's. Huevos, skillets, maybe a big burger for lunch, then take home a Tommy's Sub for dinner. Got your whole day covered. If you're in the C470 and Quincy area, stop by Tommy's for a sub. Choose from ham, salami, turkey, tuna, or get Mike's favorite, the Philly cheesesteak, made the right way. Ribeye steak, and Jeff even brings in the Amoroso bread rolls from Philly. Two great places, Tommy's Subs and DW's. DW's 285 Diner. It started with a craving. Hey, we've all craved a good burger, right? Well, that's what happened to Jeff Richard and his two sons. While spending a little father and son time, they got hungry, and burgers really sounded good. The more they talked, the more they thought, no place came to mind. Well, then, an idea was born. Dad, why don't you and Mom open a really, really good burger place? The next thing you know, Jeff and his wife, Jaren, have three Crave Real Burgers. Crave Real Burgers. The original in Castle Rock, with two others in Highlands Ranch and Colorado Springs. Sure, they got the basic burger, big, thick, juicy, but maybe try one of the specialty burgers. Like the Sin City, Love Stinks, the Three Little Pigs, the Luther, served between two glazed donuts, or a house favorite, the Nutty Professor, with peanut butter, bacon, jalapenos, and onion. And that's only the start. There are plenty more to choose from. Crave also has appetizers, sandwiches, and salads. Wash everything down with a delicious milkshake. Crave Real Burgers is open 7 days a week for both lunch and dinner at all three locations. Jeff was trained at the Culinary Institute, so you know he has talent, and he's put together some different, interesting, and delicious burgers. Some even have won or placed in numerous burger competitions. Crave Real Burgers.
Doesn't an ice-cold Mountain Dew sound good? As we return to the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
All right, moving on with author Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L. First name Alan, A-L-L-A-N. He's out of Pittsburgh, lives in Washington, D.C. He's an attorney, graduated from Carnegie Institute of Technology, a very good school, a school that I often refer to as the school that provides a nice education for kids that can't get into Cal Poly. Majored in chemistry. Did I hear a chuckle there, or did you groan?
Yes, no, that chuckle.
Can you tell where our family went?
Yep, Absolutely.
Majored in chemistry, abandoned science, and obtained a law degree from Yale University. He's got a new book out called The French Revenge. This is his 16th best-selling novel. And it's, well, it says Alan is the national best-selling author of 16 novels of international intrigue. So I don't, in the interest of accuracy, is this the 16th, or do you have 16 previous and this is now the 17th?
This is the 16th, Mike.
All right, so it's called The French Revenge. Former U.S. Congressman Anthony Ferrari is now living in Milan and romantically involved with the beautiful Chiara Moretti, one of the world's top concert pianists. Is it pianist or pianist?
Pianist, you got it.
The two of them are vacationing in Corsica and running on the beach, Chiara is suddenly shot. Enraged, Anthony launches an investigation to determine who is responsible and to punish them. Alan, tell us a little bit about the book.
Okay. So on one hand, it's meant to be a page-turner. It's an international book. It's meant to be entertaining. It has lots of good locales, Milan, Italy, Corsica, Paris, France, and then back to Washington. And so it's a thriller, a page-turner, a fun read. But on the other hand, it has some serious intellectual ideas, political ideas. One of them deals with the question of assassination, is because Anthony Ferrari's investigation leads him back to the president of Russia, who's he's made an enemy of when he was in the Congress. Mm-hmm. And it raises full bore the question of when is political assassination possible, appropriate, desirable. When should the President of the United States authorize an assassination of another world leader? What does it take to justify that? That's one of the questions that this book deals with along the way of being a page-turner. And it's a kind of intriguing question that I wrestled with in this book. So that's one of the ideas. And the other idea besides assassination is, hey, how does Washington work? What's the interplay between the president and his top advisor? So mm-hmm. I want the reader, as you said, to come away learning a little bit, and those are the two kind of intellectual topics I focus with along the way of making an enjoyable read. And I have to say, I don't know whether any of your listeners are piano players or members of their family are. My wife is a serious piano player, and that's how I got into this business about writing about piano. And it was a lot of fun because now your listeners are probably wondering who in the world wants to shoot and kill a piano player. I mean, a world-class pianist. I mean, what's the point of that? So I'm hoping that's going to intrigue your listeners enough that they're going to want to get the book on Amazon and find out why somebody wants to kill a world-class piano player.
You know what? And I asked you in the last segment, where does your inspiration come from? You know what? I got to tell you something, Alan. You brought up two things there. In this life, if I had it to live over again, I would learn to play a musical instrument. And I would learn how to whistle. I don't know how to whistle. You probably don't know anybody that doesn't know how to whistle. But at any rate, and the other thing, I have been to all 50 states. I did it, and then I took my daughter to do it again. I've been to all 7 continents, and I've been to 75 countries, but I may be the only person in America, the only person out there listening that has not been to Italy. How can you go to Austria and Switzerland and not get to Italy? I don't know, but do you have a love for that country?
I have a great love. I go there at least once a year, and that's why I fold them into the book. And, Mike, before you plan that next trip that includes Italy,
I'm calling
please call on me because I love it. It is the most fantastic place. First of all, you love food and wine, and there's no place in the world, I'm like you, I've traveled a lot, that's better for food and wine. And so to start with, it's got you hooked. Scenery's good. People are nice. I mean, it's one of my favorite places. And so I keep going back there and I keep working it into my novels. And it plays a big role in this book, too, because a lot of it's based in Milan, which is an enormously fascinating city.
All right. Well, you know what? I always say the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show is a three-legged stool. The listeners, the person I'm interviewing, and, of course, me. We all need to get something out of it. For the listeners today, The French Revenge by Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L, Alan, A-L-L-A-N. Alan got a little bit of something out of this besides airtime. La Posta Malbec out of Argentina. And, of course, I got another fabulous read. I've read all 15 of his previous novels. I intend to jump into this one here sometime in the next day or so. But I'm really looking forward to it, Alan. And you know when number 17 and 18 and 19 come on out of it, you've got a place on the show. And I also got a promise from Alan that if I ever decide to plan a trip to Italy, he's going to give me a few recommendations. Alan, thank you so much for the time. We wish you nothing but success with The French Revenge.
A real pleasure again, Mike. Thanks.
All right, we're going to keep it going here on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, I said we were going to keep it going on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, but we decided to keep it going with Alan Topol, T-O-P-O-L. He's an author, and Alan and I were actually talking during the break. Alan, you had a question for me. Let's talk a little bit about it. What did you want to know?
Sure. What I wanted to know, you have a restaurant show, and you deal with restaurants. How do you keep your show
and
going?
And they're all closed.
And they're all closed. So what do you find to talk about? How do you keep going with restaurants during this bizarre period that restaurants are closed? What do you do? I've been curious. Mike, my turn to interview you. I was curious how you do it, please.
Well, you know what? It was very simply, I was coming back from California on the 16th of March. The governor announced the shutdown. Most of the states announced the shutdown. And my daughter said, Dad, why don't you come to Mexico? I live in Mexico. Come on down and ride it out down here. And I said, you know, I think the restaurants, they probably could use a restaurant show and advocate more now, maybe even than before. And Alan, I don't know if you saw this back in Washington, D.C., but there were a lot of places that curled up in a ball, sucked their thumb and said, we're victims, we got screwed. But there were others that said, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and I'm going to go for it. If takeout is the way to go, if delivery is the way to go, obviously with pizza and Chinese, some of those are more set up for takeout than others. But the ones that said, we're going to go for it and come up with a unique way to approach Easter, a unique way a couple of weeks ago to approach Mother's Day, they're the ones that are doing just fine. Are you seeing that in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. Exactly the same thing as you said. Some of them have curled up in a ball and closed up and they won't make it. But others are out there sort of aggressively doing the takeout and the carryout business, creative menus, changing their menus, coming up with something special for Mother's Day, mm-hmm. for Easter. And, you know, and those are the guys you've got to adapt. The world's changing. Nobody may like this. That's what it is for now. I mean, just as publishing's changing, the ones who make it are the ones who are going to adapt. And you really have to applaud those places. And I'm glad you're helping them out, Mike, because they deserve it. They really do.
Well, and I applaud people that reach out to me like you did and other publicists because, you know, it's interesting, Alan. I own my shows, okay? I'm what's a brokered show. But that way, I have control over my shows. So the radio station doesn't come to me and say, why don't you go to that restaurant? And I say, I've been to that restaurant. It's awful. I don't want to put them on the air. Yeah, but they bought a schedule with us. If you advertise on my show, if you're on my show as an author, it's because I thought you did a pretty good job. And so let me tell you this. I am proud to say I've got restaurants that have been with me. I've been on the air, it'll be 29 years on August 1st, 25 in Colorado Springs. I've got authors. I've got restaurants that have been on with me since the first day. And you want to know something? When the shutdown hit, I didn't get one call from one sponsor saying, we're going to take a break. We're saving money wherever we can. They said, you hit it hard. You let people know that this is what we are doing for takeout. This is what we are doing for delivery. This is our limited menu. These are our daily specials. These are our modified hours. But we're going to keep going. So I think that that's kind of a testimony to them, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, good for them. They're the guys that are going to make it. You got to be pragmatic and you have to adapt. That's what the reality is. And a lot of these chefs, I'm sure they're owner chefs, they love to cook. That's what they do. That's why they're in business. and good for them. They're going to keep on cooking, and I'm so glad you can give them a boost because I think it's terrific. And
well,
absolutely right, Mike.
Well, every restaurant wants to be known for good food and good service. That's a given. But I'll say this, and I don't know, for the 15 years I had a steakout here in Colorado, I don't know how good of a restaurateur I was, Alan. But I'll tell you what, I was a heck of a marketer. And you can see right now the ones that have said, I own this restaurant, but I'm going to have to become more of an operator, and I'm going to have to figure out how to market it. Pencom, which is a marketing consulting firm, says you can have the best product in the world, but if you don't sell it, you've still got it. And so that's one of the things that has really been encouraging to me about the industry. I'll lump them all very much together. So, well, I appreciate you asking me that question, and thanks for sharing your thoughts as well.
Oh, a pleasure. Absolutely. It's we're separating the men from the boys in this shutdown, aren't we, Mike? Really?
You bet. And I can almost imagine the changes in the public. You know, we're coming up on another break, but I can almost imagine the changes in the publishing industry, what's going on with books and bookstores and Amazon and all of these different types of things. That's a conversation for another time, maybe over a glass of La Posta Malbec. How does that sound?
Sounds perfect. Look forward to it, Mike. You bet.
All right. This time I really am going to let him go. His name is Alan Topo, T-O-P-O.
The restaurant owners that were hustlers, people that really promoted and came up with good marketing ideas before the pandemic, they did reasonably well weathering the storm during the shutdown. Two of those owners are John Jordan and his partner, owners of the Tailgate Tavern on Main Street in Parker, and now they're back to full service. Great marketeers serving great food. You can still take out, but why not dine in and enjoy the friendly neighborhood environment of the Tailgate, a place where you really feel like everybody knows your name. They're doing their hugely popular Burger Mondays, the Buffalo Wing Wednesdays, Prime Rib Thursdays, and the wildly popular Fish Fry on Friday, and they're still taking the time to support local charities, veterans organizations, the Parker business community, and even doing benefits for healthcare providers in their area. So when you do something nice for yourself, getting some really good food from the Tailgate and at very reasonable prices, you're doing something nice for others. The Tailgate Tavern also has one of the biggest and best patios in the metro area. The Tailgate is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and has a wonderful, friendly staff that would love to see you. The Tailgate Tavern in Parker.
Good news, no great news. The four View House restaurants, yep, four, downtown across from Coors Field, historic downtown Littleton, Centennial just off I-25 and the Tech Center, and the newest store in Colorado Springs are now open for dine-in eating, drinking, or to enjoy one of their fabulous rooftop patios. If you prefer, each View House location is still doing takeout, but it's time to get together again with friends. Enjoy dine-in. Each store is staffed and ready to serve you. All meals are being prepared under the supervision of corporate executive chef Jose Guerrero and his excellent staff at each individual restaurant. The View House restaurants are also constantly updating their offerings, so ask about special items and package deals. Maybe even take one of their craft brewed beers home with you. Remember that each View House restaurant has private party rooms that can accommodate groups of all sizes. And if you don't want to dine in or pick up your takeout meal, each View House has its own delivery service. You can enjoy View House food in the comfort of your own home. But if you want Mike's suggestion, stop by any of the four View House locations: Lodo, Littleton, Centennial, and Colorado Springs. Good food, friendly people, all with great views from their rooftop patios.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and if you're looking for Chinese food in the southeast Denver area, why not stop off at the Golden Shanghai, 1412 South Parker Road, wonderfully, locally, independently owned. Tony and Dana Pond, absolutely wonderful husband and wife team. They've had it for well over 20 years, 1412 South Parker Road, and not only do they serve Chinese food, but they've got Thai food, Vietnamese food, and you know one other thing they've done? They've added a bunch of those real Chinese dishes, the dishes you would get if you decided to go to China. Sure, they've got the sesame chicken and the Mongolian beef, dishes we all love from a Chinese restaurant, but they've got some of that authentic stuff as well. They're open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner at the Golden Shanghai. Their phone number is 303-743-9079. That's 303-743-9079. They've got a private party room, but stop by and say hello to Tony and Dana Pan. Got a full-service bar, absolutely wonderful people. The Golden Shanghai Restaurant in Southeast Denver.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
Country music singers have always been a real close friend.
All right, coming up on 454, since that interview, I have read The French Revenge, or French Revenge, not the... And I really enjoyed it. I think he does a nice job, and you always get a little bit of
travel. You always get a little bit of food and wine. You always get a little bit of intrigue when you read an Alan Topol book. So anyway, I want to thank you for being on with me last weekend in Colorado Springs. We kept the interview, played it today. But I enjoyed it. French Revenge. A couple of other things. I told you that we're battling to keep the commercials, keep the spots on up to date. A couple of things. We did a spot for India's right before that interview over on East Hampton. And I talked to Chris Kapoor, the owner, and he's not exactly sure what he's doing. They're still going to do takeout. But they've got that big private party room. They're trying to figure out how to utilize that, trying to figure out how to make sure that they're ready for dinner. They can't do a lunch. I love Indian lunch buffets. I just love them. But they're not going to be able to do it. That's part of the restrictions, part of the guidelines, at least for a while. So, the spot says he's still doing takeout. I would encourage you to... he's done a really nice job of putting together meals and packages and so forth. So that's what's going on at India's. And as soon as it's open for sit-down service, I'll make sure that we get you notified on that. We also did a spot for DW's 285 Diner in Aspen Park or Conifer. DW was started by Dennis White about 10 years ago. And about a year or so ago, he sold it to Jeff and Janine. They own Tommy Subs down at Quincy and 470. Tommy Subs, he makes a great, great Philly cheesesteak. He makes a lot of good sandwiches, but boy, that Philly cheesesteak is great. They took it over, and so we got the spot all changed. We said they're all ready for dine in. Everything's up to speed. Yes, they are doing Tommy Subs up at the restaurant. And Janine said, oh, by the way, we changed the name of it from DW's 285 Diner to Conifer Cafe. Oh, okay. So the spot still has DW's 285 Diner, but I can assure you that if you pull up and you see the sign and it says Conifer Cafe, do not be confused. They've got the same great food. They've got the Tommy Subs. So anyway, like I said, we'll get that changed up by next week. Speaking of books, my new Michael Connelly book, Fair Warning, came this week, Tuesday. That was the day it was released. I just think Michael Connelly does a great job. Are you familiar with Harry Bosch, the Bosch television series on Amazon Prime? I binge watch it every year when it comes out. Just completed season 6. It's really, really good. It goes back to his years as his being Michael Connelly. He was the crime writer for the Los Angeles Times. So you can imagine, he probably saw it all, and he probably got a few ideas for a good book. He's been publishing one a year, and he's over something like 75 million copies of his books. But either Michael decided or the publisher decided to come up with another character who had been mentioned in some of the Bosch books. And so he just came out with one, and then he'll come out with one. He came out with one last October. He'll come out. He's now going to come out with 2 books a year. And I will tell you this, Michael Connelly, when I make a short list of authors whose book I will buy the day it comes out in hardcover, not waiting for the library, not waiting for anything, Michael Connelly is that guy. So I got his book, Fair Warning. And I'm about a third of the way through it. I think when I get off the air tonight, maybe take a shower, maybe clean up a little bit, pop open a couple cold Coors. I don't know if I'm going to have a Coors Banquet or if I'm going to have a Kona Brewing Company from the Big Island of Hawaii Longboard Lager. By the way, I'm taking a group to the Big Island in October. We're going to go spend 4 days on Maui, and then we are going to go spend 4 days on the Big Island of Hawaii. And if you'd like to go with us, you know, we just did a spot for fun jet vacations because people are thinking about travel. They're starting to call Darlene over at Red Carpet World Travel. My daughter's got her company, Gusto Mexico, gustomexico.com, cultural immersion experiences in Mexico. She's got one to Oaxaca in October. I will not be on that one because I will be in Hawaii with a group of listeners. But there's another one coming up November 29th to December 5th. To Todos Santos, All Saints. That's on the Baja Peninsula It is on the Pacific side. It's a neat, neat, artsy, craftsy town, very small. People go up for the day from Cabo San Lucas, but it's just a really, really neat place. Great, great beaches. It's the home of the Hotel California. You've heard of the Hotel California, no relation to the Eagle song. But at any rate, check out GustoMexico.com. Check out my website at MikeBoyle.com. We're out of time. The out song is Toes. I got my toes in the water, my butt in the sand. Not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. It's by Zach Brown. Have a great evening, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with another edition of The Restaurant Show from 10 o'clock until noon on News Talk 710 KNU.
Life is good today. Life is good today.